This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, it's a very special edition of Long Shots. We're going to talk about the U.S. Open. Pinehurst number two over there in North Carolina, looking like we're going to get a dry major for a change. Looking forward to not having to go if it rains or if it doesn't rain or how hard it rains or the wind blowing and stuff like that. It looks like we're actually going to get just a true test of who is the best golfer in the world. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds here. And guys, unfortunately, we already know the answer to that question. And the answer to that question is Scottie Scheffler. And it's Scottie Scheffler by a very, very long shot. Goes out, wins again this past week at the Memorial with his, what would we call it, B-plus game, B-ish game, and still able to beat everybody and was not able to get tracked down. I mean, what do we do with a guy, Wes, that can he can play his B-plus game, his B-game, and still win?
His approach game was A++++, gaining 13.2 shots on approach. That was almost, I think, like six and a half strokes more than the second place guy in approach had when, of course, I another runner-up for me this season with Colin Morikawa,
who
had his chance to get the door was left open, had his chance, but just never could take advantage on the back.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Wes, but I've said, Ben Wilson, let me know when Colin Morikawa is lifting that trophy, and then I'll get excited about his chances in that tournament.
Once he hit that poor chip on 16, it was pretty much DOA for his chances.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just, I'm going to say it's still fun for the sport for us. I mean, we have a guy doing Tiger-esque things. Don't hate tweet me. Yes, he's doing Tiger-esque things right now out there against the deepest field that we've ever seen in golf. And we head into the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number two. As Scottie Scheffler, a plus 280 number next to his name to win. No, that is not a top five. That is not a top 10. To win plus 280 on Scottie Scheffler. It is minus 140 on the top five, minus 275 on the top 10. Xander Schauffele goes all the way to 10-1 over at DraftKings. Rory McIlroy, 11. Morikawa, 14. Victor Hovland, 18. We got a few at 20 at Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka. Ludvig Åberg is sitting there at 22. Rahm at 25, and everybody else is 35-1 or longer. We'll talk about some of these as we go along the way. But Kelly, we start with Scottie Scheffler, and my advice to people this week, I've gotten texts from friends, I've gotten people tweet at me, and they're like, well, you know, what do you do with Scottie? What do you do with this number? What's going on? I think my answer has been so far is figure out a way to get some sort of exposure to him. If you live in a state where there's DFS, maybe you just go all in on Scottie Scheffler on every team that you make. If you live in a, if you don't want to get the 280 number, go in and figure out something you really love in one of these exotic markets or whatever it is. But I would not be naked to Scottie Scheffler in this tournament.
Yeah, me either. This is I'm interested. I can't wait to get to your bets later and the interesting approach you took on it, because I think it is one worth talking about. I'm with you. It is a bet for me this week. I bet a top five on him this week. And I mean, the other way, I think the way we often talk about it, Matt, is, okay, if you're looking for outright bets, maybe look the outright market without Scottie Scheffler. I think that's also fair to still say, but your wording, I'm going to go back to, because I feel like this is a week I need to have some of him. Not just, you know, not just excluding him from markets, but I want to be in on Scheffler bets.
Wes, we look at Scheffler, and this is the shortest favorite we've had since 2005 at a U.S. Open. I can't poke holes in the number attached to his name. If you look, as you mentioned, not only you just look at his numbers from last week, but honestly, this run that he's on right now, and then this course and this course fit, everything is coming up Scottie.
Yeah, and shortest favorite, by the way, since 09 in a major. That was Tiger Woods at Hazeltine at the 09 PGA Championship. Why Yang ended up knocking him off. Tiger finished second, as an aside note. But yeah, same thing as Kelly here. I do have a top five on Scottie Scheffler. Not an outright spoiler alert. Going to be a glutton for punishment again, and Nat, go ahead and bet the under 3-1 favorite here. But yeah, you got to have something with it. Now, in terms of the matchups, too, if you want to use matchups, now you got to lay big prices on all these matchups. And he's matched up against the elite. Look, he's minus 190 against the PGA champion, for God's sake. Xander Schauffele, he's 240 against Colin Morikawa. He's 220, 225 against Rory McIlroy.
So I was wondering about that. I made my top five bet yesterday, and I bet it at like minus 137. I found a 180 on Xander. I like Xander this week. All I'm saying is I think that's probably even a more intelligent bet. If for some reason you don't like Xander as much this week, you're only going up against one guy as compared to the rest of the field trying to crack top five.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You look at this, you lay this course plays out, and Wes will talk to you here about how it is. But, I mean, it is a long course. It's a par 70, so fewer scoring opportunities out there. And that just also favors a guy who is the best in the world at par fours and the guy who is hitting fairways left and right, who is the best approach player we've seen in quite a long time. And so you start to put everything together, and I was trying to talk myself into some of these other dudes. And look, I do have some other outright plays. I'm not going to say you should not be listening for further in this show. We definitely have some other outright plays, but they're going to have to be guys that play A plus, that, like you said, A plus plus pluses, and have to have Scotty play B in order for them to win the way that he's going right now.
Yeah, exactly. Look, and maybe the course is going to be the great equalizer here, because the course is always the big story in any USGA event and how it's set up, and with the greens being changed, and we'll get into that momentarily, with the speed of the greens, the fact that you don't really have thick rough here, you have sandy expanses and waste areas. So this is a different type of US Open. Now, I think it's going to play a little bit more traditional, but just without the rough. It's not the, 5-inch thick rough, but we've seen a couple non-traditional US Opens at different venues over the years. I think we're getting kind of back to what we normally think of a US Open this week.
Kelly, I know you like to play weatherman whenever we do our podcast. You like to come in, but I can tell you this. You don't have anything to talk about, buddy.
No weatherman Kelly this week.
You don't have anything to talk about. It did rain Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of last week over there, but it is going to be 8 straight days of 85 plus, if not getting into the 90 territory. This course is going to be dried out. It's going to be fast. It's going to be firm. It's going to be exactly as they wanted it to be as we head into play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, man, the greens, and we always talk about the green complexes and what these look like here, but you're already getting those crown greens where everything is going to naturally run off anyways. But if they're firm and fast, like we know they're going to be, it makes it even more likely it's going to be tougher to stick these approach shots and not let them roll off the green. And around the green is going to be extremely important this week for the guys out there. I mean, sand save, scrambling, your basic around the green stuff, all going to be stuff you got to factor in heavily.
Yeah, Wes, as I mentioned, 7,500 plus yards here. If you and I went and played it, it'd be a 72. They're going to play it at a par 70 this week. But let's talk a little bit about Pinehurst number 2 for people that aren't familiar with the course. And again, like I said, if you wanted to, it's going to, it's going to cost you, and you're going to have to like make some plans, but yeah, you can go play it if you want to.
Yeah. Donald Ross design originally in the early 1900s, most recent renovation, Bill Coor and Ben Crenshaw did the renovations, before the 2014, US Open, and, basically took out all the rough and wanted to get it more like the Donald Ross course originally was, which is a lot of sandy waste areas. Course at 75-43 may play a little bit shorter in the yardage because the fairways are actually pretty darn generous for a U.S. Open. 40 yards on average in terms of the landing areas with the width. But you've got some really weird stuff here. You can get some really tricky lies if you don't hit these fairways, because most of the fairways, by the way, they pinch in at about like 300 plus yards. So you can rip it a little bit off the tee, but you got to be more positional, I think, necessarily than either long nor accurate. You have these wiregrass plantings, like I talk about. A lot of bunkers on this course, too, besides the sandy waste areas. 117 true sand bunkers in all, and it's going to play quick, firm, and fast. The big difference, though, of course, the greens, which average about 6,500 square feet, they go from bent grass to Bermuda grass this time around. Speed's going to be just the same, going to be between 13 and 14 on the stimp. It's ultra dwarf Bermuda, which they feel like they could keep better maintenance in the summer, and that's why Pinehurst number 2 went ahead and made the change because of the heat and the humidity down there. So you're right, par 70, just the two par 5s, about a 590 on the front nine, and then number 10 where you start the back nine, a little over 600 yards. So you can drive it off the tee. Like, the fairways aren't all that intimidating, but you got to position it because these greens, they have roll-offs everywhere. They're kind of like called turtleback greens, where if you're in a certain spot, they're going to roll off the green. And you might have seen the video clip just a couple minutes ago as they were showing a little bit of the flyover. These things are rolling And these things will roll off the green if you don't hit it right. So you got to play, you know, I think Victor Hovland talked about it at the press conference earlier today, where he said aggressive off the tee and conservative into the greens. So these guys are going to try to make middle of the greens, you know, most times, and pars are going to be very good scores here.
As you can see right here, if you do have a VEASAN Pro subscription, you're watching the video feed of this ball being thrown up on the green, watching it roll, not just off, but way off, right? Yes. Into one of the, because another thing about these greens, no fringe, because that is one of the other defenses of this course, Kelly. So yes, only one water feature. Like, we're, it's one of those things where it's not one of these dramatic courses. We're going to go in and see like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. Like, look at all this. No, it's just the way that they built it. They wanted to go in and they wanted to say, hey, you're going to have to stick these greens. And guess what? You're not going to stick all of them. And if you can't do it, you are going to have to be very good with your short game. You're going to have figure out what you want to do, because the other thing it brings into play, depending on where you are, you could putt it. You can chip it. You might use a wood to go up there. Like, we're going to see all kinds of craziness.
Bump and runs, Texas wedges, all kind of things.
Yeah, we saw Colin Morikawa earlier this week using, I think it was a 7-wood to practice. Mm-hmm. I love these kind of U.S. Opens where you do get to see, look, it's around the green play is going to be important this week. Scrambling is going to be important. But as you just said, Matt, there's a lot of different ways you can get that done. Interesting when it brings in creativity like that to the U.S. Open, because we know there are some guys that are a little bit more special in that area than others, and some guys that like just to be very straightforward with their game. So I think it's going to be a major factor with who ends up winning this thing.
Absolutely. 16 amateurs in the field as well this week, a bunch of qualifiers. And some of those qualifiers you will know because they are actual tour players that qualified to get into this. Yeah, there are only 80-plus automatic qualifiers for all of this. But when we come back, we're going to get really into this odds board, see what we think about the guys at the top as we move into the middle. Where did we kind of start to build our betting cards this week? Because, again, when you have Scottie Scheffler, maybe it's just a placement market world we're living in. It is Long Shots here on VEASAN, the VEASAN Podcast Network, as well, if you're catching us in podcast form. And if you sat on your hands and didn't take advantage of the special that we had going last month, one, what were you doing? But two, we're gonna let you continue to get something for free, just not as much for free. We gave you 14 months. We're going to give you 13 months this time to say, hey, don't mess around. Because the way this is going, Kelly, if you trend this, it's 14, now it's 30. I'm guessing next month's going to be back to 12. I don't know for sure. I'm not in on these conversations, but I'm just going to assume 14, 13, probably back to 12.
Next month, you might be able to get 12 months for 12 months.
Yeah, exactly. So go in, use the promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F, $199, going to get you 13 months. So 1 month absolutely free. And trust me, you don't want to wait around and be the person that missed out on the free month. So take advantage of that. Promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F. F.
I thought you were going to stop trying to spell that.
Yeah, well, you know. Listen, make sure the people know exactly what to type in over there. I don't want them to get a virus on their computer whenever they type in something wrong.
I'm worried about you spelling golf wrong. You know,
Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin, we are breaking down the U.S. Open over at Pinehurst, number two. Looking at this odds board, we talked a little bit about Scottie Scheffler sitting at plus 280, but let's get into some of these other guys and how we attack the top of the board. 10-1 on Xander Schauffele, 11-1 on Rory McIlroy, 14-1 Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, 18-1. Three good rounds for Victor Hovland this past week and one terrible round, and that one terrible round was enough to kind of push him way down that leaderboard, all the way down to T8, I believe it was, finally finishing for him. 20-1 on Bryson and Brooks Koepka. Ludvig Åberg sitting there at 22, Rahm at 25, Fleetwood 35, and everyone else 40 or longer. We sit here coming into this news that John Rahm pulls out of the LIV event, some sort of toe thing and toe west of fungus or toe.
He was wearing one shoe today at the media availability. Yeah. So he is on the grounds, by the way. He wasn't there on Monday.
Foot problems.
Yeah, wasn't there? Yeah, just to get everybody up to speed on the situation. We are, you know, recording this on Tuesday, so we'll see how things move along. But Wes, as you said, didn't show up till his media availability today. Showed up wearing one sandal on that toe. Yes. A lot of you probably saw the video of him in clear pain off the tee box last week when he withdrew from the LIV event. It is a lesion in between his toes that is infected. And he said today it is something he is, you know, concerned about heading into the U.S. Open. So
Yeah.
Maybe I targeted him a little bit.
I think I did as well. I helped you along there with all that. Look, Xander, if there wasn't a guy named Scotty Scheffler, maybe Xander has a couple more wins this season
The guy has played
so incredibly well. We find him as second on the odds board here, rightfully so. I think he should be ahead of Rory McIlroy, maybe even bigger than he is, sitting at 10-1. Guys, I was trying to figure out ways to get access to Xander Schauffele. I ended up getting just kind of pairing him up in an exacta with Scotty Scheffler is how I tried to do it. But I think another guy that I think if you're kind of trying to just make money, this isn't a cash a lottery ticket type situation, but if you are trying to make money, Xander Schauffele has been incredibly consistent all year long, and it would be hard for me to believe that he goes and lays an egg here in this tournament. I mean, you're still getting plus money even at a top 10 on Xander.
I'm sorry. Yeah, anybody who listens to this pod, you know at this point this is just an auto bet for me. It's about one of the few things that's been working actually well in my golf betting this year. He's teed it up 13 times on tour this season. He's finished inside the top 10, or you would have, you know, won on a T9 or whatever. Maybe you still would have been if you bet him with ties paying full. 13 times he's teed it up. He's finished inside the top 10 in 10 of those times. I've bet it 8 times, cashed on 6 of them, so I'm going to keep going right back to the well. It's not just that, right? It's not just the trend. It's everything when we talk about this course. This course still should be a good fit for him. Everything he's doing well, he's accurate off the tee. We know he's a great approach game player. And around the greens, he's got a very solid game, and the putting keeps getting a little bit better as we go. So Xander, a guy I'm very confident in this week.
Wes Xander, a guy that actually rated out very well for me in the models. I mean, it was basically him and Scotty in the vast majority, kind of the 1-2 spots. Yeah. And a lot of them, sure, there might be a couple of versions where he was 3 or 4, but never outside of the top 5. And if you look at consistency on tour this year, Xander's name is literally right there with Scotty. He just doesn't have all of the wins to show for it, though he did get one.
Yeah, look, Xander had a couple times where he had to fail this year before he succeeded. Of course, at the Players' Championship, 54-hole leader, didn't get it done. Scotty Scheffler gets the win, and then was second at the Wells Fargo the week before the PGA. Rory kind of pasted him on the back nine, really ran away from him, and then Xander followed it up. So, you know, that old, oh, man, there's going to be a hangover from, you know, finishing runner-up hadn't happened, you know, and maybe Colin Morikawa finds himself in that situation this week, too, because,
I hope not.
He was in the final group. I hope so. But he was in the final group at the PGA. Didn't really do anything on Sunday, ended up finishing fourth. And then, you know, runner-up last week at the Memorial, had a chance, didn't get there. So maybe that follows up this week. But, you know, we've seen little glimpses out of these guys. You mentioned, Kelly, also the injury to Rahm. Ludwig Aubert, it seems like he's recovered, but he had a partially torn meniscus in his knee, which forced him to drop out of the Wells Fargo. And then, of course, he played the PGA. So finished top 5 last week at the Memorial, so maybe he is over that. But looking at how the market gives him a ton of respect.
Yeah, it's a difference, I think, between Scotty and Ludwig for me, Kelly, and I think this is something where I've come around on, is if I miss out on Ludwig, I'd be okay with that, because it's like he still hasn't been able to get there over and over again like Scotty is. The reason I don't want to be to not be exposed to Scotty in some way, shape, or form is I would feel stupid then whenever he goes out and just wins again, which it looks like, again, I all my models say he should. Everything that about this course screams Scotty Scheffler and what he does well. So I'm okay missing out on Ludwig. This is me basically saying I don't have a bet on him this week. And I think the talent is there. I think he's going to win a ton of tournaments, but if I miss out at 22-1, it's not going to break my heart.
I also think the big difference, big difference between what we're hearing injury-wise, Ludwig and Rahm, right? I mean, Rahm, I didn't get to watch it today, but I mean, Rahm went up there, media availability, and basically told everybody what's wrong with him. Ludwig's been a little bit more cagey about that, right, Wes? I mean, we did finally get information, but for a while he was a little combative with people of, no, I'm fine, it's not bothering me, yada, yada, yada. When we kind of know there is something there, I do think I misspoke earlier, Wes. I think we're on the same side with Morikawa. But, another guy worth bringing up that I think you and I are matching on as well, I mean, Hideki. Hideki is battling through, he has a back injury.
He's always injured.
But he is always injured. That is worth bringing up as well. He is always injured. I don't think there's anybody else of note to bring up injury-wise, but those would be the three I would definitely want to throw out there.
Yeah, guys, Rory McIlroy, 11-1. Like I said, I think there should be a bigger gap between him and Xander.
Me too.
I'm the talent's there. And Wes, we're not going to argue that Rory's, whether he's one of the best players in the world or not. Of course, we know he's one of the best players in the world, but we bring up win equity a lot on this show. And yeah, Scotty steals a lot of that from everyone because he just keeps going out and winning. But whenever I look at not only this course fit and what you really need to do well and all of that and kind of where Rory's game is, I'm not comfortable at 11-1, and I don't know what the number would need to be for me to feel comfortable, but I'm not there with him.
No, and I'm not either, and I'm usually somebody that, you know, can get there off at times with Rory, but he could win here, but he's won the U.S. Open before. Now, that was 2011 at Congressional, which was a rain-soaked course where he just absolutely torches those things. Mm. Oh, and you've seen that many times over the years, but this week, I'm not sure. Now, Rory, I think, is a guy that can be creative around the greens. And I know when we talk about the stats, we're going to hit on that pretty heavily because I think that that's going to matter a lot this week. So you're going to have to play a wide variety of shots, which he has. But, you know, I'm willing to let him beat me here this week.
Yeah, I feel like I'm never the biggest Rory guy here on this show. I think Wes probably is, and I don't even know that he's the super Rory fan out there. But when I hear Wes is passing on him, I've got absolutely no interest in him. And I'm with you, Matt. Is this the first tournament we've seen where Xander has been shorter than Rory? I think the recent ones, they've been about even, right? And maybe this will change around, obviously. Book to book might be a little bit different. But this is the first one I can recall where we finally do see Xander shorter than him, clearly, over there. So, Rory, interesting case. He definitely rates out. I mean, he still rates out very highly for me, but not one I was interested really at all.
The next guy on the odds board is the guy that we're all interested in, Colin Morikawa. Yeah. Actually just flashed a 16-1 over at DraftKings as we are recording this. And Colin Morikawa on all three of our cards this week. And a guy that I was out on at the beginning of the season, and I think rightfully so, because what he did well wasn't there. And then he has progressed and gotten better and better and better along the way. And Wes, now we look at Morikawa, and he's more of that Colin Morikawa that we knew a couple of years ago, right? Where he elite with the irons, hitting the fairways, doing all the things that we loved about Colin Morikawa. Heading in, is it enough to pick off Scottie Scheffler at his best? Probably not. But if, like we said, but if we get B+ out of Scottie Scheffler, I do think it is good enough to pick
off. Well, and look, he's right there. And the fact that, you know, that Masters wasn't a one-shot deal. The fact that he's followed it up with really good finishes at the RBC and at Colonial and then also at the PGA. Mm. And then last week at the Memorial. So he's got, I believe, four top four finishes in his last five events. So he's right there, and he's finally playing the kind of golf that made him a two-time major champion at a very young age.
Kelly, I know he's on your card as well, one of the couple of outrights that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you guys on Morikawa. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's finally found the irons after they were a struggle at the beginning of the year. Three straight tournaments where he's gained and gained big on approach, and he's putting well, too. Four out of his last five gaining with the putter. I like his full game right now at this tournament.
When we get back, we'll get every single stat that we plugged into the model, what it said, and we'll start letting you know what made our betting cards this week. It is Long Shots here on VSiN, also the VSiN Podcast Network. You're catching us over there. And if you haven't done so, if you're watching us on VSiN, yes, this is a podcast that happens each and every week, not just for the major golf tournaments. Go in, find wherever you get your podcast. Go in, subscribe, rate, review. We do appreciate all of that as well. Matt, Kelly, and Wes. Not going to take too much time here to talk about these stats and things because, guys, I think we're probably mostly aligned with how we went about it. That said, there probably is going to be one difference in all this, which I do want to talk about. But
U.S. Open primer up at VSiN.com, too. I know mine are included in there.
There you go. Go on over. That's absolutely free. At VSiN.com. So we talked about each and every week, approach is always going to be a stat that we put into the models. Disclaimer, we're not programmers. We do not program these models. We're using other people's models. We're putting in the stats we find and then weighting those accordingly to how much we want those to factor into what the algorithm spits out. And so we talk about approach. I think long iron play is going to be something we all looked at this week. And we talked about with the way that these greens are, there's going to be around the green and scrambling stuff that we weighed pretty heavily. But Wes, I think the point of differentiation between all of us, or maybe, I don't know, I don't know what you guys put in, might be how much we weigh stuff either off the tee, driving distance, driving accuracy, good drive, whatever factors we decided to put in for stuff when the guys are holding driver in their hand, because I think there is differing opinion how people are going to be able to attack this course.
Yeah, and look, more often than not when we do this, it's not every single week, but more often than not, approach is probably the heaviest weighted stuff that we have, and it is very rare that I think like around the green and scrambling is so heavily weighted. It's usually kind of maybe in the middle. Yeah. It was at the top for me this week. So in terms of off the tee, I still use some stuff, but it was not one of my top four or five categories necessarily. I looked at good drives gain. I think you could certainly look at total driving if you just kind of want like a macro. How is somebody driving the ball? Even though I don't think it's not about distance necessarily, nor it's about accuracy, it's about positioning.
Yeah.
And getting yourself the proper angle into these greens. Like, you know, like I mentioned that Victor Hovland said, rip it off the tee. And then you got to be really conservative into these greens and make sure you put in the right spot.
Kelly, I did kind of factor in all aspects of driving, which I don't really ever do, but I think distance is certainly going to be an advantage. You know, it's always an advantage. I didn't put it in as a sole statistic. I did the whole total driving thing, which combines accuracy and distance. I did put in some good drive stuff. I put in even some distance from the edge of the fairway stuff. I did even some fairways gained, more or less to kind of see who has in their bag what is, as what you mentioned, what's going to be necessary, I think, to probably fight off double bogeys and things like that, because that's what really what this is going to be about. If you hear what these people are saying, this is likely to be as difficult scoring conditions as we've seen in quite some time. Over par might win this thing, I mean, when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was trying to see who is the most well-rounded with whatever they're going to choose to go, whatever their weapon of choice is. Maybe it's driver, maybe it's three wood, I don't care, whatever it is. And so I actually did factor off the tee stuff a little bit more than I thought I was going to.
So for those watching at home right now, I think this is a great shot of what we're dealing with. And I know we talked about this a little bit in the first segment, but really not anything majorly different from what you see in a U.S. Open course, except for where fairway blends into rough normally, the rough is just completely gone.
You can see how it pinches in like on the video once you get past 300
But
yards.
This is just, you're playing out of these chunky waste areas with, what are they calling it, green wire grass, whatever it's called.
Pine weeds.
So what's going to happen? Sometimes you're going to hit over there and you're going to have an okay lie on occasion. Other times you're going to have an absolutely nightmare situation. So that's why it's going to be so important, such a premium on accuracy this week for me. I understand, Matt, I did factor in distance. Definitely leaned more to accuracy stats, though. I want to make sure these guys are staying out of that as much as humanly possible. So off the tee, that's really, really where I focused more. But distance, it's a long course. You got to be good. I feel like I say this often, but you either got to be long off the tee or hitting those long irons. You need to be very proficient for me to be considering.
Wes, I guessed, you know, and again, I'm just going by what I'm hearing. We hear guys talk about courses all the time and they still go out and score well, but I'm guessing these are going to be incredibly difficult scoring conditions. Mm-hmm. So I factored, you talk about how much you factored around the green and scrambling and stuff like that more than normal. This is the highest I think I've ever put in bogey avoidance as well, because it's kind of like, hey, for a lot of these holes, par is going to be a great score. You know, go out, get your four and move on, you know? And so I actually factored in bogey avoidance, I think, way more than I have in years past, because if we think that this thing does play to, you know, two under to two over type as a winning score, if that's the case, then I got to have guys that aren't going out there and putting up, you know, doubles and triples.
I did the same thing too, and then put a little three putt avoidance. Now, keep in mind when I give this number, the three putt rate in 2014 was a little over 5%. Mm. That was on bent grass greens. These, of course, are now Bermuda greens. However, the speed is gonna be just as, I think, noticeable as we've seen on these videos so far during the program. Yeah. So I felt three putt avoidance because, look, you're going to knock these by and you're going to have these seemingly makeable putts where you're from 6 or 7 feet, miss it on maybe the edge of the cup, and it's going to roll 5, 6, 7 pass, and that's tough. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to save pars at a U.S. Open. And, you know, I don't want to go all Johnny Miller, the former longtime color analyst on the U.S. Open, but we talked about open pressure. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Right.
And you're going to see that, I think, on the greens this week.
So, Kelly, you plugged in the stats. You weighted what you thought was important, and your model put out some numbers. Now, we are not slaves to the models. We say that all the time. Sometimes the numbers are so – there's such a discrepancy that we feel like it's a must bet.
But yeah.
I don't think you got really to that point this week. I didn't get to that point this week. So what ended up making your card?
Yeah, and I'll start with my outrights. I did make these. I made these over the past weekend, actually, before U.S. Open odds were kind of pulled and then reposted. So the ones I've got pure outrights wise now is Colin Morikawa at 21-1 and Hideki Matsuyama 50-1. You could still find Hideki right around that number. The only difference probably is I would, if you were looking at both these guys, I'd be betting with the winner without Scheffler market. That's the only difference. So you see the one other guy I added, it was Keegan Bradley in that exact market. Keegan has been great off the tee last week, and if you got to live through the roller coaster of the full Keegan experience last week, I'm going right back at it because I did last week, and I'm going in for more. I'm not missing out on Keegan Bradley winning the U.S. Open. I like his game right now. So that's where I stand kind of with winner bets. And this is Morikawa we kind of hit on. Matsuyama is, I mean, he's a wizard around the greens. As long as that back can hold up and he's not spraying it off the tee too much, I really like his game here. So those where I went there. I'm going aiming high end, though, for Matsuyama and Bradley. We know those guys can blow up and have some issues. So I went outright, you know, or winner without Scheffler with those guys for those reasons. Down to the bets I love the most. Scottie Scheffler, top five. Five wins, last eight events. You can't argue what this guy's doing out there. You're cashing this bet fairly often. I don't care that it's a U.S. Open. Minus 137, I'll play that with ties paying full.
And if there wasn't for an overzealous policeman, who knows? It might have been. Exactly. The stat might be even better. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
And then Louisville police.
Top tens, right back. These are my biggest bets last week. I'm going right back to the well here. Morikawa, and then Xander Schauffele. Talked a lot about Xander and Colin already. Both those guys playing incredible golf. I feel like Colin Morikawa's on a heater right now. I know about you guys, but this is some struggles to start the season with the irons. Everything else is rounded into form. Four top finishes and five in the five last events. I think you mentioned that earlier. Around the green games is firing. Even the putting's gotten better from what we've seen in Colin Morikawa in the past. So really like him this week. Played him outright, top 10, top 20. Tommy Fleetwood then in top 20 market. I think the first time you guys at least, or anybody else who listens to this podcast regularly, has seen me burn a lot of money on Tommy Fleetwood in the past. I don't think I've played him once this year. Top 20 market, I'm going to go with Fleetwood. Yeah, his game has been better recently. A top 10 kind of rated out guy for me this week. Like everything he's bringing to the table. Wish he was a little bit longer off the tee, a little bit better with the long irons, but still top T20 Memorial, T21 RBC Canadian, T26 PGA, T13 at Wells Fargo. He's playing some really good golf recently. Then top 40 markets, Sepp Straka and Aaron Rye. That's where I attacked these two guys. I would say some outliers a little bit for me. I thought popping in the model as high as they did. Straka, I love what he's doing with the irons and off the tee right now. A little concerned about the around the green game. Aaron Rye, kind of the same old story. Can he putt? Can he play around the green? If he can do that, I think he has a good week.
One other thing I should mention about Rye is in this, Kelly, is a lot of times we put in stuff that emphasizes accuracy. One of the best accurate drivers there is out there, as high as fifth in one of my models, I should say.
So he was cracking top five. Yep.
Just to say. I don't have him, but I do. But just to point out, it's not just you. It was showing up for me as well.
Yeah, and then he was fourth or fifth in a couple of mine. So, and then Aaron Rye over Jaeger in tournament matchup. Fleetwood over John Rahm. We hinted at that already. I think that's the best way to attack Rahm this week. Pick a tournament matchup if you could find one out there. Give him the most amount of days for that toe to start feeling bad, and hopefully he tees off and then withdraws at some point. That's what I'm hoping on. And then Matsuyama, top Japanese player, -105. I thought that number was way too long. I thought he'd be way shorter than that. So I like that as a prop this week.
Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, Rye showing up for me as well. I'm going to have some Sepp Straka on my card as well when we come back. Go through mine and Wes's card top to bottom here. I ended up with more bets than I thought. We'll see if they can cash this week. It is Long Shots. We talk golf betting here on this here show. Also a podcast that you can go in, VSiN Podcast Network. We do appreciate you subscribe, rating, and reviewing this here podcast. We just went through Kelly's plays, which you can find over at VSiN.com/picks if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. If you're not already, use promo code GOLF. Wes, you can also find your picks, your write-ups, your everything that you do each and every week for us over there. But let's go ahead and get to the goods here. What made your betting card this week?
Yeah, Morikawa, as we mentioned earlier.
We all love him.
Yeah, we do. Hopefully that works out at least this time. Morikawa, look, I mentioned top four in four of his last five, top 10 in his five of his last six. You know, also has had some decent success in the past on Donald Ross designs. Some of the Donald Ross designs you'll see on the tour, East Lake, by the way, at Atlanta. Not that that's a direct corollary, because there's a lot of different ways you can go, of course, correlations, I should say, this week. Victor Hovland at about plus 2250s in the 20 range, pretty much across the board. Vic, bad weekend last week in the Memorial, was right in there and then shot 8 over the last two rounds to slip to T15, and yet he was fourth in the field in ball striking behind the top three finishers, Scheffler, Morikawa, and Hadwin. He's actually had some success on Donald Ross designs. Remember, he won the FedEx Cup last year down in Atlanta at East Lake, and also was T2 in the PGA Championship, which was won by Brooks Koepka at Oak Hill. So, you know, I thought that was an interesting correlation this week. So I think Victor Hovland, look, I know the short game's always a concern, but where you have to be creative, where you don't have to play it one way necessarily.
Right.
I think that that opens it up and that levels the playing field maybe at least a little bit. Speaking of really good.
Real quick, Wes. He's a guy you and I have bet a ton in the past. I battled whether to add him or not, ended up passing. I think I'm okay with that, but how did you feel about Vic this week?
What Wes said at the very end, it was just the short game stuff that it was a big problem for him last year. It's kind of popped back up again. That's what kept me off of him. I love every other part of his game. It seems like he's a little bit more confident as well than he was a little bit ago, but I don't mind it at all. I just couldn't quite get there.
I do agree, though, Wes. Yeah. I think with the different options he could have around the green, he might end up surprising.
Because he kind of did that thing at St. Andrews where he like putted everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He won't have to chip off tight lies, which is what he hates. Like he cannot chip off tight lies. He can just putt it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to putt, I think, like everything right around that green. Another guy really good around the green, Tommy Fleetwood. Around mid 40-ish to 1, T3 in the Masters earlier this year. Three-time top five finisher at the U.S. Open. I don't think Fleetwood is ever a guy that's going to win a U.S. Open on like a big bomb and gouge type of course.
Yeah.
He's not going to win at a winged foot. He's not going to win at a Bethpage Black, despite the fact he did finish runner-up at Shinnecock to Brooks Koepka years ago. But he's an accurate driver, really good around the greens. I think that this is kind of the really good setup for Tommy Fleetwood. And I also agree with Kelly on Hideki Matsuyama. 45-1 gained in all the strokes gained categories last week at the Memorial, was second in scrambling, first for strokes gained around the green when you look at the season, instead of maybe just going 24 rounds or 36 rounds. So Matsuyama, look, I think that this is the type of thing where he will flourish and he will be able to gain strokes around the green, as will kind of the Jedi master of gaining strokes around the green. And this is not a guy I bet, and he has not had a great year, even though he did make a playoff on the LIV Tour. I think Cameron Smith kind of pops this week a little bit.
If he wins for you, I can tell you it's going to be a bad week for me.
I know it's controversial, but he's been out of sight, out of mind. Sprays it off the tee, but I think that this is a setup where he can maybe get a little bit away with that, considering the width of the fairways and the fact that, you know, he's played out of bunkers his whole life. You know, you'll have some of these sandy waste areas on those Australian courses. Number one in scrambling in LIV. Recent form obviously doesn't jump off the page, but this is a better fit for him because he's not a bomb and gouge guy really necessarily either. And we've seen his wizardry around the greens. We still see it, even though he has not really played all that well this year. And then finally, Tony Finau, 75-1. Fifth on approach this season, ninth tee to green. T8 at the Memorial, gaining all the strokes gained. But the reason why, and look, it's been his putter that's been struggling, even though he's okay last week at Muirfield Village. Only hit 50% of his greens and 51% of his fairways. But the ball striking's been outstanding. So I think with the putter, it's a very similar principle this week, as a lot of these guys are going to have to putt defensively anyway. You're not going to be super aggressive with your putts necessarily. And I think the fast greens could be a great equalizer because of that defensive putting that you have to have. A couple props I played, and look, I'm going to add some placement markets and some matchups over the next day or so up at VSiN.com/picks. Brian Harman, plus 230, 23 to 10, fractionally, as top lefty. Robert McIntyre, obviously the favorite in this market, who just won won the RBC. Harmon's had the more consistent season, runner-up to Scotty at the Players. Akshay Batia has kind of been struggling with the putter lately. Phil Mickelson, obviously, also in this market. But unless a U.S. Open's going to be held at Augusta, I'm not giving him much of a shot at 54 years old. And then Sam Bairstow, a rookie from England, playing for the first time as a professional in the United States. And then Christian Bezuidenhout, 9-5, LOSAF African. I basically take him over Dean Burmester. Burmester is a real bomb and gouger, real bomber off the tee, played very well at the PGA, so that was a good one for me there. But Bez, more of the putter and scrambler here, and I think that that's going to matter more, and he's one of the best on the tour at doing both.
Yeah, I we can go ahead and skip straight to kind of where I said if Cam Smith has a good has a good day, it's going to be bad for me. I actually am fading him all over the place. So I have over 33.5 on Cam Smith. Placement. I have Matsuyama over Cam Smith. I have Max Homa over Cam Smith. I also have Matt Fitzpatrick over Cam Smith. It's a full-on fade for me. My model hated Cam Smith this week, and I went in and dug in, and he's just been playing like garbage over on Live. A horrible performance this past week as well. He is a wizard around the greens, but I think like you got to be up there in order for that to matter. And so I just don't know if that's going to happen for him this week. So big fade for me of Cam Smith this week. So one of me and Wes is going to be happy. That's for sure. Heading back, we talked about Colin Morikawa. I'm on Morikawa. Everyone's on Morikawa. We don't need to go into that anymore. Only two other outrights for me. One, Justin Thomas. I have him outright. If you kind of look at his recent form, guys, he's coming around, right? The only problem is he can't putt at all. Yeah, I wonder if he should try to putt left-handed. I don't know like what's happening with him. He's lost at least 2.4 strokes putting in 6 of his last 9 tournaments. That being said, he's gained on approach in 7 of the last 8. That's what we love about him. If you look at last month's PGA at Valhalla, he gained a ridiculous 13 strokes tee to green, but lost over 3 putting. It's just always when he gets on the green, the flat stick. Maybe he can run hot and pay off what he's been doing with all the other aspects of his game. So I do have outright on Justin Thomas. The other outright is Scottie Scheffler, but not the outright that you're thinking of. I have Scottie Scheffler go wire to wire at 20-1. So that's the way that I'm going to get exposure to Scottie Scheffler. I think it's very likely if he comes out hot that he could just run away with this thing, considering that we think this is going to be difficult scoring conditions. If Scottie goes 2 or 3 under on day one, it could be game over for this field. And so I took Scottie wire to wire 20-1. On that. So only 3 outrights that I have in this one. Bunch of position market stuff for me this week in head-to-heads, because I just don't want to get in the way of a truck, right? I want to get in the way of Scheffler this week. And so Sepp Straka, you mentioned, Kelly, you like some Sepp Straka. I have top 10, top 20, and top 30 on him, kind of a ladder effect for him, trying to get some of what I think might could be the ceiling, and then also just get what I think has been really consistent play for him. T16 at the Players, T16 at the Masters, T5 at the RBC, T8 at Wells Fargo, back-to-back T5s the last 2 weeks at Schwab and the Memorial. Guy's been playing very, very well. Yeah, there's a couple of missed cuts in there, but I mean, listen, unless you're one of these super elite players, you're going to miss cuts every now and then. So I do have him in there with that. Alex Noren, another guy that was really, really high up in all the models for me, inside the top 22 in every single version of the models that I ran, as high as number 5 in my 36-round model. Great on approach, great scrambling, great at bogey avoidance. Going back to early May, he's missed one cut.
Yeah.
And outside of that, he's no finish lower than T23.
Yeah, came back and hit a top 20 after missing the cut. He's been one of the kings of consistency.
Yeah, T23 at the Open last year, T12 at the PGA, so he can get it done in big tournaments as well. So really do like him there. A bunch of head-to-heads, right? So Max Homa over Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay, I don't know what's going on with him, but if you look at his stat profile, guys, it's unbelievable that he's even the same golfer that he was a year and a half ago. I have Xander over Rory. I mentioned all the ones about all the ones over Cam Smith that I have, some other placement market stuff. I have Matt Fitzpatrick under 35.5. If you look at the short-term models, they're going to like him. If you look at long-term models, you're not going to like Matt Fitzpatrick. But you hear that weird stuff about him playing with a weight in his driver that he didn't know and all these different things that were going on. But if you look at short-term stuff, models really liked him a ton. And I took over 45.5 on Wyndham Clark.
Matt Brown fading Wyndham Clark. Whoa.
Guys,
he's been so inconsistent.
He's been horrible. I mean, he's been so bad. And the fact that, you know, you're able to get this 45.5, or even if he still like creeps into the cut, you're still able to cash this ticket as opposed to just taking him and miss the cut. I did like that one as well. All of my plays will be up over. A couple more that we didn't get to here on the show will be up over at VSiN.com/picks. And, of course, long shots available wherever you get your podcasts.